Michigan has spent years caught up in a wider debate about who gets to parent. To this point, if you wanted to adopt and you weren't in a heterosexual marriage, your chances were not good. Until now.
This is not about discriminating against LGBTQ people. It's not about discriminating against same-sex couples. It's about hurting the most vulnerable children in our society, children who have had their rights terminated of their biological parents and are wards of the state and are desperately in need of homes.
This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. One of the biggest providers of adoption services in the United States has announced a huge change in its policies. It's Bethany Christian Services, a faith-based adoption agency. For many years now, Bethany flat out did not work with LGBTQ families. But the organization just announced that's changing, starting today. And the road that brought us to this point originated right here, where the company's based in Michigan, with a series of discrimination lawsuits around state-sponsored adoptions and foster care. It so happens that Michigan's Attorney General, Dana Nessel, has been involved in these cases for years, even before she was in Lansing. And she's got thoughts about what this will mean for thousands of kids and families waiting in adoption limbo. Dana Nessel, welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks again for having me.
Were you much surprised to hear of Bethany's reversal in its national policy?
Actually, I wasn't, because it seemed as though they were transferring towards that policy in Michigan quite some time ago. And, you know, this is just anecdotal, but what I had heard through the grapevine is that in part the reason for doing this was because so many of the social workers that worked with Bethany really wanted to see this happen, because they wanted to make sure that these children that they were placing into foster homes or into adoptive homes had as many choices as possible, or the availability of qualified parents. And by, you know, discriminating against a particular class of people, one that is more likely to adopt, frankly, than any other class of individuals, you're minimizing or you're limiting the number of kids that can find forever homes. And if you're a social worker trying to place kids, then that's antithetical to your goals and your mission.
Early in your term as Michigan's Attorney General, you settled a lawsuit against the state that involved some adoption agencies and foster care agencies that included Bethany Christian Services. Can you just give us a brief background about what was going on in that case?
Well, you know, there was a lawsuit that had been filed by the ACLU, and it really had to do with policies that were being utilized by these agencies that, you know, in essence, I would say permitted them, or that they were behaving in a way where they were turning away same-sex couples and LGBTQ individuals that were otherwise qualified to be foster care parents or to be adoptive parents. And these agencies, again, state-funded, had all signed agreements with the state with non-discrimination clauses. And it was the opinion of the state and the Department of Health and Human Services that they were actually violating those contracts that they had already entered.
And the reason I bring this up is it's sort of one of the root disputes in Bethany's evolution on its national policies on this. That case was settled with several stipulations. It said that Michigan needed to take action to make sure that LGBTQ couples were treated equitably. But the settlement also gave the state some latitude, as I understand it, in sort of when it chooses to act. Are there still religious-affiliated adoption agencies working with the state that might deny service to LGBTQ parents? You know, Bethany is a big player, but it's not the only one in the industry.
Right. Well, I should, you know, indicate that there is an ongoing lawsuit that was filed after that settlement, basically challenging it on constitutional grounds. So that is, while that case is being decided at the United States Supreme Court relative to this issue, So, you know, we will wait and see what that decision is. Obviously, it's expected by the end of the term. And the question, of course, is whether or not a state-funded adoption agency, one that accepts state dollars and deals with wards of the state, these are not private adoptions, these are public adoptions, Whether or not you can take state money and then still discriminate against certain groups of people when the state has told you that you are, that's not acceptable. But I think this really speaks to, and what's so important about what Bethany did here, it speaks to the greater issue. This is not about discriminating against LGBTQ people. It's not about discriminating against same-sex couples. It's about hurting the most vulnerable children in our society, children who have had their rights terminated of their biological parents and are wards of the state and are desperately in need of homes. And there are thousands and thousands of such children here in the state of Michigan. And we have so many people in our state that identify as LGBTQ. We have so many married same-sex couples that are desperate to adopt children. And statistically, we know that same-sex couples are far more likely to adopt from foster care than opposite-sex couples. And it's not just that, they're more likely to adopt otherwise hard-to-place children. So kids that are older or disabled, children of color. To take parents that are otherwise qualified and have gone through this very rigorous test where they have to go through background checks and they have to take parenting classes and they have to, frankly, pay a lot of money. These are people who really want children and we know who are qualified to adopt and raise children. And to deny them the ability to adopt, it's not just that you're harming those people and you're using state tax dollars to discriminate. There are thousands of children that need good homes and are denied homes because these agencies, which are all throughout the state, refuse to work with these couples. And we know that the costs to society are so great because if a child ages out of foster care and never gets adopted, his or her outcomes are likely to be so much worse, so much more likely to have drug or alcohol problems, or to end up in jail or prison, or to never graduate from high school or college. And not only that, the expense to the state is enormous. For every child that stays in the foster care system instead of getting adopted, it costs the state an exponential amount of money every year. And in addition to that, we end up paying the price in the long run because these children are less likely to go on to lead productive adult lives where they are taxpaying, contributing members of society. So, discrimination is bad for society. It's bad for, of course, LGBTQ people, but mostly more than anything, it's bad for children. And so I applaud Bethany for making this decision all across the country. Obviously, I'm hopeful for a good decision from the Supreme Court, although I'm not really optimistic about it. But, discrimination is bad for a multitude of reasons. And that's why agencies like Bethany, I think, have come to understand that the best way to do their jobs and to ensure that these children are placed into loving, safe, secure, forever homes is to open it up to all qualified parents and not discriminate.
More with Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel in a moment. We'll be right back.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from Kalamazoo College, offering a personalized education that combines critical thinking, curiosity, and creativity. Committed to preparing students for meaningful careers that make a positive impact on the world. More at kzoo.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Let's go back just a little bit further. Before you were Attorney General, you represented April DeBoer and Jane Rouse when they challenged Michigan's voter-passed ban on same-sex marriage, a case that ultimately was decided by a Supreme Court precedent. And their case specifically involved their children. They wanted to adopt each other's children. What kind of precedents did that case set?
Well, firstly, let me say this. Oddly, that case seemed to pave the way for a law that specifically codified discrimination by state-funded adoption agencies against same-sex couples. And it was just before the Obergefell decision was decided in 2015, literally just a few weeks before that, the legislature and Governor Snyder quickly signed into law codification of discrimination by these agencies, which was already a practice that had been sort of ongoing, but it wasn't codified into law. Obviously, I was very disturbed about that. But, you know, I think that the Republicans who were in the legislature and Governor Snyder saw the writing on the wall and knew that it was likely we would win that case. But, you know, again, that case involved April DeBoer and Jane Rouse, an emergency room nurse and a NICU nurse who had adopted 5 children from foster care, all of them, you know, special needs or who had great physical challenges and, you know, had raised them mostly since the day they were born and dropped off at the hospital where they work and had great outcomes for those kids and were by all respects deemed to be very, very good parents, so much so that the state did not challenge their parenting ability. And we know that the outcomes for children raised by same-sex couples are every bit as good as the children raised by opposite-sex couples. So there's no argument there. But, you know, I think that as much as things started to progress as time went on, there was an insidious backlash for those who wanted to use religion to discriminate against same-sex couples and LGBTQ people, even though we know that they had great success in raising children that, frankly, no one else wanted. And so we've gone back and forth and back and forth. Unfortunately, the United States Supreme Court is much more conservative than it was in 2015 when the Obergefell decision came down. And I'm very concerned that this new makeup of this United States Supreme Court will actually move us backwards and allow the furtherance of discrimination against LGBTQ people and same-sex couples and the children that they're raising based on, you know, closely held religious beliefs is really how it's phrased. But, you know, to me, what it really is, it's just discrimination. And it hurts, again, it hurts parents, it hurts children, and it hurts society.
I don't know how much time you have to keep up with folks you represented, but do you know how April DeBoer and Jane Rouse and their kids are doing today?
Yeah, actually, I just talked to April the other day, and they're doing well. Their kids are thriving. You know, they're doing very well in school. I think they just moved recently to a new location, and you know, they're doing well. They have the same struggles, of course, that everybody else has, and I'm sure their kids, you know, some of them had more pronounced special needs than others. And they're trying to make their way through remote learning, I think, like everybody else, which is not always easy, especially when you have 5 young kids that are school age. But I think that they're doing well. And best of all for them, you know, they both have legal rights to their children, which was not the case when I met them. And they have 5 kids. Who were, you know, lucky as can be to have somehow landed in their family, being raised by 2 loving parents who adore them. So they're doing well. And there are thousands and thousands of families just like theirs all around the state of Michigan. The thought of denying people like April and Jane children who didn't have homes and didn't have parents is quite honestly sickening to me. And I know that April and Jane went to agencies where they tried to adopt initially and were turned down. And, you know, there's no way to explain that. And there's no way to justify it. You know, they are good parents. And again, during the course of our trial, and we did have a trial in DeBoer v. Snyder, the state stipulated that they were excellent parents because they could not contest that. And so why you would engage in a behavior, a practice where you would have state money going towards discriminating against good people like April and Jane and their children is beyond words for me. There's no way to justify it.
You and your wife have kids. How does the horizon that we're seeing in the courts sit with you right now?
It's upsetting. It's upsetting because we had made so many steps forward, and now we're moving backwards, I think more quickly than we moved forwards during the course of time that I was involved in litigation in these areas as a private attorney. And I worry for children that are the age of my kids. And it's not just because I'm afraid that our family will be discriminated against. It's because I worry for the children of same-sex couples out there, and I worry for young kids that identify as LGBTQ as to what their futures will look like if we don't have things like the Equality Act passed federally, if we don't amend Elliot Larson here in the state of Michigan one way or the other, and if we don't have courts that understand that the First Amendment should be used as a shield to protect people and not as a sword to skewer the rights of others. Less discrimination in our society is always the best practice.
Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
And that's the Stateside Podcast. I'm April Baer. You can find more of Stateside streaming at michiganradio.org anytime you feel like a listen. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis. Today's show was produced by Mercedes Mejia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you next time.